His jaw set in a hard line, and he didn't hide the anger anymore, the first honest reaction I'd seen out of him since he cried out in surprise. "If you've got a point, Dresden, get to it. I've got a plane to catch." I spread my fingers over the tabletop. "In the past 2 weeks," I said, "the spooks have been going mad. You should see the troubles they've caused. That poltergeist in the Campbell house, the basement beast of UFC, Agatha Hagglethorn down at Cook County." Morty grimaced and wiped at his face again. "Yeah, I hear things. You and that Knight of the Sword have been covering the worst of it." "And what else has been happening, Morty? I'm getting a little cranky losing sleep, so keep it short and simple." "I don't know," he said, sullen. "I've lost my powers, remember?" I narrowed my eyes. "But you hear things, Morty. You've still got some sources in the Never Never. Why are you leaving town?" He laughed, and it had a shaky edge to it. "You said you read all of my books? Did you read They Shall Rise?" I glanced over it. End of the world type stuff. I figured you'd been talking to the wrong kind of spirits too much. They love trying to sell people on Armageddon. A lot of them are cons like you. He ignored me. "Then you read my theory on the barrier between our world and the Never Never, that it is slowly being torn away? And you think it's falling to pieces now? Morty, that wall has been there since the dawn of time. I don't think it's going to collapse right now." "Wall," he said with a sneer. "More like saran wrap, wizard, like jello. It bends and wiggles and stirs." He rubbed his palms on his thighs, shivering. "And it's falling now?" "Look around you," he shouted. "Good God, wizard. The past 2 weeks, the border's been wagging back and forth like a hooker at a dock workers' convention. Why the hell do you think all of these ghosts have been rising?" I didn't let the sudden volume of his tone make me blink. "You're saying that this instability has been making it easier for ghosts to cross over from the Never Never? And easier to form bigger, stronger ghosts when people die," he said. "You think you've got some pissed off ghosts now? Wait until some honor student on her way out of the South Side with a college scholarship gets popped by accident in a gang shootout. Wait until some poor sap who got AIDS from a blood transfusion breathes his last." "Bigger, badder ghosts," I said. "Super ghosts. That's what you're talking about." He laughed, a nasty little laugh. "New generation of viruses is coming, too. Things are going to hell all over. Eventually, that border's going to get thin enough to spit through, and then you'll have more problems with demon attacks than gang violence." I shook my head. "All right," I said. "Let's say that I buy that the barrier is fluid rather than concrete. There's turbulence in it, and it's making crossing over easier both ways. Could something be causing the turbulence?"
"How the hell should I know?" he snarled. "You don't know what it's like, Dresden, to speak to things that exist in the past and in the future as well as in the now, to have them walk up to you in the salad bar and start telling you how they murdered their wife in their sleep. I mean, you think you've got a hold on things that you understand, but in the end, it all falls to pieces. A con is simpler, Dresden. You make order. People don't give a flying fuck if Uncle Jeffrey really forgives them for missing his last birthday party. They want to know that the world is a place where Uncle Jeffrey can and should forgive them." He swallowed and looked around the room at the fake tomes and the fake skull. "That's what I'm selling them. Closure. Like on television. They want to know that it's all going to work out in the end, and they're happy to pay for it." A car honked outside. Morty glared at me. "We're through." I nodded. He jerked to his feet, splotches of color in his cheeks. "God, I need a drink. Get out of town, Dresden. Something came across last night like nothing I've ever felt." I thought of ruined cars and rose bushes planted on consecrated ground. "Do you know what it is?" "It's big," Morty said. "And it's pissed off. It's going to start killing, Dresden, and I don't think you or anyone else is going to be able to stop it." "But it's a ghost." He gave me a smile that showed me his canines. It was creepy on that florid, eyes too wide face. "It's a nightmare." He started to turn away. I wanted to let him go, but I couldn't. The man had become a liar, a sniveling con, but he hadn't always been. I rose to beat him to the door, taking his arm in one hand. He spun to face me, jerking his arm away, glaring defiantly at my eyes. I avoided locking glares. I didn't want to look at Mortimer Lindquist's soul.
Morty, I said quietly, get away from your seances for a while. Go somewhere quiet. Read. Relax. You're older now, stronger. If you give yourself a chance, the power will come back. He laughed again, tired and jaded.
Sure, Dresden, just like that.
Morty. He turned away from me and stalked out the door. He didn't bother to lock the place up behind him. I watched him head out to the cab, which waited by the curb. He lugged his bag into the back seat and then followed it. Before the cab pulled out, he rolled down the window.
Dresden, he called. Under my chair there's a drawer. My notes. If you want to kill yourself trying to stand up to this thing, you might as well know what you're getting into.
He rolled the window back up as the cab pulled away. I watched it go, then went back inside. I found the drawer hidden in the base of a carved wooden chair, and inside I found a trio of old, leather-bound journals, vellum pages covered in script that started out neat in the oldest one and became a jerky scrawl in the most recent entries. I held the books up to my mouth and inhaled the smell of leather, ink, paper, musty and genuine and real. Morty hadn't had to give me the notes. Maybe there was some root of the person he had been, deep down somewhere, that wasn't dead yet. Maybe I'd done him a little good with that advice. I'd like to think that. I blew out a breath, found a phone, and called a cab of my own. I needed to get the Beetle out of the impound if I could. Maybe Murphy could fix it for me. I gathered the journals and went to the porch to wait for the cab, shutting the door behind me. Something big was coming through town, Morty had said. A nightmare, I said out loud. Could Mort be right? Could the barrier between the spirit world and our own be falling apart? The thought made me shudder. Something had been formed, something big and mean, and my gut instinct told me that it had a purpose. All power, no matter how terrible or benign, whether its wielder is aware of it or not, has a purpose. So this nightmare was here for something. I wondered what it wanted, wondered what it would do, and worried that all too soon I would find out.